our government.
Iran.
Your government.
Proliferation.
Public option.
A serious insurgency.
We do have a plan. We're working on it.
Just to give you a sense of perspective. What's going on?
Okay, it's Monday. That means it's time to check on the agenda of what's coming up this week in the news. Joining us is Marcus Mabry, international business editor for our partner, The New York Times, and also Chris Hogg, a correspondent in Shanghai for our partner, the BBC. Good morning to both of you. We need to start this morning with in Fort Hood. That's the tragedy, obviously, that's been dominating the news since it happened last Thursday. Here's what Army Chief of Staff General George Casey had to say on Meet the Press yesterday.
Now, I will tell you that we will take a hard look at ourselves. As an army, because we want to make sure that nothing like this ever happens again. And it's our ethos here to look hard at things, ask ourselves the hard questions, and then adapt and adjust based on that.
So, Marcus, what are the hard questions? What are these changes that they're probably going to have to move forward with in the army to make sure this doesn't happen again?
Well, the hardest questions are questions of how do you take care of your soldiers and sailors and airmen, too, for that matter, psychologically. How do you ensure their mental health in times of stress, in times of war, in times of two wars, multiple wars? And then that's the first question. That applies to all of our servicemen and women. The second question is how do you take care of the mental health of the caregivers? How do you take care of those who are taking care of everyone else? And then finally, there's a third question, which has to do with discrimination and openness. The military has actually been the most successfully integrated institution in American life, and it wasn't easy at the beginning, but they have done better than the rest of us and then corporate America, than other parts of our society. So the question for them now becomes, how do you deal with, however, the fact that when you have such a diverse force, and you do, incredibly diverse, we saw in the victims from Fort Hood, then how do you make sure the discrimination is kept to a minimum? How do you teach people, many of them who are young, how to deal with that and how, you know, there's some natural differences here, and how do you not exacerbate those? And those become harder now, obviously, in the wake of this tragedy.
Diversity of the victims. Yeah.
That's a really good point. You know, one of the things that many people have been pointing to is that the shooter, Major Hassan, was going to be deployed to Iraq, and people are questioning whether or not this shooting occurred prior to his deployment. And so people are talking a lot about extended deployments, long stays, and soldiers getting very few breaks. Is that one of the things the Army's looking at?
They are looking at it, but they've been looking at it for a while, and it's really hard, just the stress on the force, which everyone has talked about, and now we have a reality of it coming, bursting tragically into view. This is where kind of the reality of America's national interests and defending those kind of collide with the very human interest of keeping these men and women alive, and how do you deal with living this? Unfortunately, you can't let your national security or your foreign policy be dictated by those kinds of realities. It's really, really sad and really cold-hearted to say it, but the president can't decide, for instance, on the Afghanistan policy based on this tragedy. He can't. And
Moving on to President Obama, he's going to make his first visit to Asia since he got into the White House, which is kind of silly because, you know, it's his first year in office. Most of his trips are going to be his first visits. But let's go to Chris Hogg. You were based first in Japan, and now you're based in Shanghai, China. He's going to be visiting Japan, China, Singapore, and South Korea. So what do we know about this president's visit? What is his purpose in visiting these four countries?
Well, in terms of what the White House is saying, they're saying that it's going to be about security, it's about non-proliferation, he's going to be talking about energy and climate change. In Japan, of course, he'll be meeting the new government there. There's a tricky issue there because the Japanese government wants to renegotiate the relocation of a U.S. Army base down on Okinawa. The Americans are very unhappy about that. He then travels down to Singapore for the APEC summit. APEC, you'll know, is the grouping of nations from around the Pacific Ocean. So he'll have a range of meeting with different leaders there. And then, of course, he comes to China, where he'll be talking, we expect, about climate change. But also, he can't ignore these concerns that there's a trade war breaking out between these two countries.
Okay, and is he going to get a different reception with the Obama administration and, say, the Bush administration enjoyed in Asia?
I think at this stage, the biggest concern that countries have is that they still don't quite know how to treat President Obama. I mean, I mentioned trade there. There's been a lot of concern in China that he's been making decisions about tariffs that have been quite different to the kind of decisions that we were getting from the Bush administration. That he seems to, the perception is that he's pandering to the unions, that kind of thing, and that worries people. The other concern that all these countries have about President Obama and this administration is do they care enough about what's going on in Asia? The former American ambassador to Japan once told me that the most dangerous thing in this part of the world, which could be a very dangerous part of the world, is if America takes its eye off the ball and gets bogged down in its problems elsewhere.
Right. Chris Hogg is the correspondent in China for our partner, the BBC. Thanks, Chris. Marcus, let's move on to healthcare briefly. The House passed their version of healthcare reform on Saturday. Obama is saying now it passes on to the Senate, and he's saying the Senate is going to get this passed. Is that realistic? Are we going to see the Senate pass their version?
Well, the great thing about this issue, in addition to the fact that it's a huge issue and affects 18% of our national economy, is the question we really get to see, and I think we really get to see it this week, what is the leadership of Obama really about? Is he going to be busting heads like a Lyndon Baines Johnson would be to make this historic change happen? You kind of find it hard to imagine he wouldn't, because the stakes could not be higher. If the Democrats were to deliver half a loaf, meaning,
just the House,
a huge majority in the House, only to deliver the House, with all those Democrats who defected, and that one Republican who came to their side, Congressman Goh from Louisiana, and then to fail in the Senate, it would be unimaginable, and it would actually have huge consequences for their party next year in the elections.
And the Republicans have promised to derail it. We'll see if that happens also. Marcus Mabry is the international business editor for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks, Marcus.